You would turn to Revelation chapter 19. On your bulletin, we want you to mark out the super second coming. We want to finish up from last week, the super supper. Amen. And those of you that are visiting today, I'm going to preach 20 minutes. And you're going to run back here next week thinking, man, that was great. They passed on and preached 20 minutes. We're going to go back to that church and get blasted next week. At Antioch, we try never to put the communion at the end of the service, so it ends up being the end of the service. Amen. But as part of the celebration, God has only given us two ordinances, baptism and communion, and we want to make sure that we keep them very high and very important to everyone that comes. So the sermon started during communion. I'm just going to give the last point or so today. So let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being our God, and thank you for the opportunity we have to open your word. Father, bring back to focus the things that was taught about last week that we may continue today. Father, my prayer is that you move me out of the way, that you have the freedom to say and do whatever to whomever. Father, for those of us who need conviction, I pray you convict us. And those of us who need comfort, I pray you comfort us. Father, this message is so good, it's so important to understand that let nothing get in the way of us. What we're thinking about this afternoon are the things that has captivated us over the last several days and weeks. But Lord, let us be captured by your word and your spirit today. In Jesus' name, amen. We talked about last week, we laid a couple of things out with chapter 19, 1 through 10. And one of the things we said is very important to gravitate to the truth of 1 through 10. When we talk about the super supper, we say it's important for you to understand the whole concept when we get through with the book of Revelation, if we ever get through with the book of Revelation, that we're going to start the book of Matthew. And it's important for you to understand 1 through 10 so you can understand the whole misconception of teaching, I believe, has been taught in Matthew about divorce. Matthew is a book written to the Jew. It's about the real king of Israel. So in the writings of the book of Matthew, the Jewish mind would understand what is being said, but because we don't have that Jewish background and training, we'll take some of the things that's being said in Matthew and we're misguided by them. And we're going to see today how we can be misguided because of how God has established everything through his promise to Abraham and the Jewish people. And he said he moved to bring in the Gentiles to make the Jewish people jealous. And when we talk about the Super Supper here in 19, 1 through 10, we're going to have to understand that the whole thing is based upon the Jewish concept of marriage. And it's going to be, I pray that it's going to be an amazing truth that's going to come through for you today. Because it's going to be important for you to understand as we go through the book of Matthew. This is talking about the revelation. We established last week that when we all get to heaven and that last supper is going to be called on, and there's going to be some serious worship going on in heaven. You think when we strike up the band here at Antioch, we turn up the volume, and some of us are totally out of our comfort zone when the decimals is above our culture. Amen. And then when we throw it way low, and we are so calmed out of our mind. Some of us cultural people just go, I want to be moved. You know, it's too soft. Crank it up. When we get to heaven, God's not going to ask you about your comfort zone. It's going to be all about His zone. And it says worship up there is going to be like thunder, like many rivers of water. And He's not going to ask, what do you think about this? He's just going to ask, are you participating? So enjoy your complaining down here. So we established that last week. We're getting ready for the supper. We established out of verse 10 last week that prophecy is simply to reveal Jesus Christ. Future events is simply to reveal Jesus Christ. All the prophecies have been given in the Old Testament, New Testament. It has one purpose, that is to bring the glory of God and to tell us and talk about Jesus Christ. That's why Revelation, it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. He is the revelation. That's why there's no S in that. If you look at Revelation, it's singular. It's talking about Jesus Christ. So we established that last week. Amen? Amen. We want to break it down a little further this week, and we want to talk more about the marriage. We established last week that if a woman is married to someone that's a big star, or very important, that brings that she inherits all of that. Amen. And we say it's kind of different when a man marries someone important. No, not a man in the world want to be known as so and so's wife. I mean, it's not a pride thing. I don't think. It's just the way God established it. A woman was created for man. Man was not created for woman. That's 1 Corinthians 11. And that's hard for us at times to fathom that, because God is a man. It is the plural. That's why we're His bride. Now, and we established last week, it's got to be in God's eye where beauty is, because I'm going to be His bride. That's an ugly sight to me. Amen. Me coming down in a white gown. That's an ugly sight, Jack. We're all God's bride. We got to take on a whole new role when we get to heaven. So we established that last week. And we're going to look at it even a little bit more today, because I don't think any of us really have felt the glory of walking in heaven to our groom. So some of you that's been married understand what it is to, if you're a guy, you're standing up front and that bride is walking down the aisle towards you. Well, we felt that. We've seen that. We've anticipated what that walk represents when it ends. Girls, those of you that have been in a wedding, those of you that have been a bride, you know how it is to have all anticipation of having all the guests, and you walk out looking better than you probably ever have or ever will again. You've been to the paint and body shop all week long. You've lost weight. You've done everything. Just for that special day. Can I get an amen? You know what I'm talking about. And we can't comprehend what it's going to be like for us to know that we are the wife of God, when everything, every scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, every doctrine, every precept, every truth, everything is about Christ. And then at the wedding feast, it's centered about who belongs to Him. It's about His wife, us. All the the time in Scripture, all the time in past, all the time of future. It is centered at the supper about us being his wife. I don't think you understand what I'm talking about. And for us to see the emphasis about the wife at the supper is a concept that you and I need to grab onto now to know how to live. That high position, that exalted place as Christ's wife. We don't have to wait till the feast. We don't have to wait till the supper to understand how he sees us. What he did for us and how he died for us and how he gave us everything. And when we're in heaven at the end of the tribulation period, the four creatures, the seraphims, are going to stand up and they're going to say, it's time to praise God. Woo! It says pandemonium breaks out in heaven. In other words, it's like a call to worship. Can't hear you. Amen. Okay, y'all. That's what seraphim's going to say. All right, y'all. Get ready. Do it. Woo! I see y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Do you, huh? You don't have the slightest idea what I'm talking about. When you get to heaven, some of you going to be shocked out of your gourd that you can worship that way. You're going to look around and go, is this me? You know why you're going to say that? Because for the first time in your life and my life, it's going to totally eliminate it being about us. It will not be about us. It won't be about our likes. It won't be about our dislikes. It won't be what people think of me. It won't be about what my friends say, what my wife says, what my husband says. It won't be about what my culture says. It won't be about what my theology says. It won't be about what my finances say. It won't be about my social graces. It won't be about nothing but responding to God Almighty. Anybody begin to get a little glimpse of what I'm talking about? See, and that's what marriage is supposed to be about. Marriage is not supposed to be anything about you. Marriage is totally supposed to be about your mate. And that's why if you think it's about you, you are a miserable person to live with. Because God never intended for you to be involved in the marriage. God intends for you, I'm going to do another marriage class on that. God intended for you to totally know that the other person you're committed to is the most important thing. And when you want to bring you into it, you just messed up marriage. See, we're going to get that picture when we get to heaven. It's going to be about God. Does that sound, does that sound English and educational? Cool. Look at this. Verse 1. And after these things, I heard a great voice of many people in heaven saying, Hallelujah! First it says, I want you to praise him because of the salvation. Why should we praise him because of salvation? Because of his deliverance from that which is bonding us here on the earth. That flesh that has us selfish. That life that has us worried. That thing that comes to our lives and make us fear. We've been delivered. We have salvation. Praise God. He is the deliverer. Woo! We're going to be singing in heaven because we're going to understand what it means to be totally free. Free, I'm free, I'm free, free at last. Maybe I should keep my composure, y'all looking at me funny. It's hard to share this without sharing it. I hope y'all understood that last statement. Because I understand it in a small way. I'm just hoping you get a little glimpse of what it's going to be like to be free to worship God the way we're supposed to worship God, not worrying about am I doing it right. Can you imagine to praise him because of his deliverance? Then it says, and glory. How do we praise him for? For his attributes and his character. Not what he can give us. Not what he can get us away from. Not what we want to ask him for. No. Just for his glory. Oh, just praise him for his glory. Just look. Have you ever just been in love with someone that you can just look at him? You don't even have to say anything. Just looking good. I mean, they just look good. They give you the googly woogly. Some of y'all forgot that, huh? Yeah, just. Just knowing they're on the other end of the phone. For his attributes, just who he is, the glory, the glory of glory, the Lord of lords, the King of kings. I can praise you for just who you are, not anything about what you're going to give me. That's why it's going to be in heaven, just, and no one will think you're strange. Does anyone here know what I'm talking about? You're just going to hug from God. You know what I'm saying? Just to be next to him. Let some of his glory rub off on you. Am I getting to you? Just a small way what it's going to be like in heaven. Oh, I can't even explain. There's no words to explain. How can you explain love? I mean, put some words in love. Love is never saying I'm sorry. Gag or ruining. You've heard them little statements about love. Love is never forgetting a birthday. Most of us are not in love. A lot of those definitions. I ask my wife to forgive me all the time. Forgive me. How can you put that feeling into words? You can't. You just got to live it. You know what I'm saying? Just got to live it. That would make your knees weak. Amen. You know what I'm saying? Glory to just give praise him for who is. And who he is, his attributes, his just this beautiful character. Then it says, and then we're going to praise him because of his honor. We're going to praise him for his exalted position. Above all authority. I can't hear you. I mean, are we ever going to be able to quit praising him? I don't even know why the seraphim's going to have to say, praise him. I mean, because it's just going to be natural for us. Girl, some of you know how it used to be. Some of you still know how it is. When that guy that you like, that don't know you like it. Can't hear you. And you're walking down the hall, remember in school, and you're walking down the hall, and every girl in school know you like it. You put out you've tested and marked your territory. He comes walking down the hall, and you and about five or six of your girlfriends see him coming, and all of you got that certain communication. As you walk by, and you all y'all just come, and you walk around the corner. I used to do that all the time to girls. I don't know what it was. That pastor's a sick man. I am a sick man. Amen. Keep praying for me. I'm a sick man. Amen. Oh, just his glory. Lord, and God God just going to walk in and all Christian hearts is going to go, oh, it's him. Oh, I can't get over it. I can't wait. Oh, that's going to be a glorious day when all of God's people are going to be together in heaven. Oh, what a day that's going to be. What a day. And then it says for his power. We're going to praise him just for his power because no one could do what he did. No one can take a sinner who is not worth being looked at and make him the wife of the greatest who's ever been, who ever is, who ever will be. No, I mean, that's the only one can do that. We're going to praise him. Say it again. Amen. Now check this out. This is where it's nasty. You get down to verse 7, it says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife has made herself ready. You got to understand, when he talks about this, the Jewish mind, it would kick in right away, the Jewish mind. When he talk about the marriage feast. See, this is the third step in the marriage, in Jewish customs. The first part of a Jewish marriage is the betrothal period. The engagement, where there's no sex involved, and it usually lasts up to a year. The betrothal period. There are some things that can happen in the betrothal period that can't happen after you say I do. And the consummation of the marriage, sex. There's no sex involved in the betrothal period in the Jewish mind. You're just like you're married without sex. And it usually lasts a year, and they say it's usually given to prove that the woman is chaste and hasn't played around. I'm amazed at how. What about the man? Amen. I mean, you know, let's see if he's going to be chaste. That's not the purpose, but that is the Jewish custom. And then there is the marriage itself, where the bride is taken by the groom and taken to the groom's home. Can't hear you. That's why we think that it was Jesus' half-sister that was being married in John chapter 2, where he changed the water to wine because she is taken away from her home. And Jesus and the mother and everyone goes to that home, and Mary has a great deal to do with the wedding. That means that that's probably Jesus' half-sister's wedding. That's the second part of marriage in the Jewish custom. The third part of marriage is the marriage feast, where the groom goes back to the bride's home. And that consummates everything. That's the end of everything. That's where we are from now on. Now, check this out. If God is still holding on to the Jewish way of thinking, just think about what is this marriage feast for? First, it's the betrothal period we call salvation for you and I. The only difference in the Jewish custom, there's no sex and you don't become one until after sex. But in God, when we become in salvation, we become one with him immediately. So that is the salvation. That is the betrothal period. Rapture is when God is going to take his bride and take us to his home. Ooh, is anybody in here getting faint bumps already? That's rapture. Boom. We get out of here during the tribulation period. We go to his home. And then the marriage feast of the Lamb is when Jesus breaks his bride and brings her back to her home, earth. Bam. Then you can understand Revelation 19. It's Jesus getting ready to come back to the bride's home to set up that he is the leader of the bride. And he's going to rule over the bride for 1,000 years. Now, I want to ask you a question. Can you see the excitement that's going to take place? But God says, I'm getting my bride ready to bring back to her home so everybody can see his wife. Now, don't get mixed up. Now, that's three different women that we've had to deal with. Are you ready for this? That was another wife that God had. It's called Israel. But you read scripture, she was an unfaithful wife. Can't hear you. Amen. There was another woman that should have been God's wife But she played the harlot. That was 16 and 17 and 18. It's Babylon and false religion. And the third woman is his true wife that's dressed in white, got the wedding clothes on. That's the church. And the only way the unfaithful wife can get on the white clothes is to repent. Oh, I can't hear you, church. You and I are the prize of God, dressed in white with the wedding clothes on that God is going to honor in the great supper. I'm looking forward to it. I don't know about you. I'm looking forward to it. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being our God. This is about you and you alone. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day. What's that?